Kevin Purcell, again with the Theotech Podcast. This morning we're really excited to have a guest host with us today. This is someone that those of you in the Philadelphia area will remember from his wonderful stylings on the basketball court. He's changed a lot. I was kind of surprised when he showed up. But Dr. J is with us today. And Dr. J, let me ask you this question. What was it really like playing against Michael Jordan?
Oh, well, I have to tell you that Michael Jordan was great. I am not that Dr. J, and alas, I discovered the other day I was born white, so I don't play basketball very well, but I do a mean job at Biblical Software.
All right, well, you are the Dr. J of Bible Software. That's right, Tim Jenning, and we're so glad that you're with us this morning. He is, by the way, from Accordance Bible Software, and if you've ever watched any of the Lighting the Lamp podcasts, his training videos. I've watched dozens of those trying to figure out how to, you know, become better. Like we talked last week about being an expert Bible software, if you're an Accordance user, then you should definitely go over to AccordanceBible.com and find his videos to get better. Of course, we also have our regulars, Wes, a pastor from New Jersey. Wes Allen, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
And then I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Rick Mansfield, who is also from Accordance Bible Software and lives in Louisville, Kentucky area. And I've got a cold, so I don't want to be coughing through the whole podcast. I'm just going to kind of be a fly on the wall and listen today. But thanks so much for being with us, Dr. J. And Rick, go ahead and take it over.
All right. Well, good morning, Kevin. I hope you get to feeling better. If you know, if you start hacking, you can mute yourself. And if you start, you know, doubling over, then you can kill the camera. So, you know, that'll work. All
notice
right.
We will do nothing to help you. We're just, you can just kill the camera.
Yeah, kill the camera so we don't know to call 911 for you.
Yeah, the look at the thing is the most important thing, not how I feel whatsoever.
Right. Okay.
Take over.
Okay, I'm going to attempt to share my screen here and pull in Accordance. Can you see my screen?
Yep, can.
Okay. Now I didn't really have a chance to resize this before we started, so I hope that it's legible. People watching this later will probably want to make this full screen, but this is kind of a basic Accordance startup screen. You can start this. You can have Accordance startup in a multiple variety of ways, but basically, you see here I've got an English text and I've got a Hebrew text, and you'll notice the cross highlighting that's taking place so that when I move my mouse over a word, it shows the corresponding word in the Hebrew. And if I do that from the Hebrew, of course, it shows it from the Greek. There's also down at the bottom, you see instant details, which is giving that information. It's very fast. I don't have to touch the words. I'm just moving the mouse over them. And so, it's just very responsive, and it also scrolls very responsive as well. And in fact, I've got a combined text there in the middle. So if you see me go down to the New Testament, it automatically switches to the Greek. And then in the right pane that I have here, I'm going to make this a little bit larger so you can see it perhaps a bit better. This is called our info pane. And so this has information about the text, and it always lines up with whatever your top verse is right here. And so in the info pane, I have commentaries, and these are, you can rank these. So these are the top five that I have ranked, but I can add in more. And when I put the mouse over one, I can see information in the instant details. If I decide to click on that, then that commentary will open, and again, these will all scroll together. That will continue to scroll there as well. And go ahead.
The scrolling together is not necessarily going to work for the info pane. Do you have to tie the two panes together?
No, it does automatically work
when
I go to add parallel, because I'm adding it as a parallel text or parallel pane there in my zone, if you want to get, you know, the technical words there.
Right.
When I add that, oh no, there we go. Okay.
Of course, there when it's go. Live at the end crashes. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, Tim, that's the first time Accordance has ever crashed. No, not actually. So I'm pulling it back here again.
That was probably the beta version you were using, right?
I'm sure it was. Kevin, yeah. Edit that out. Okay, so no, I'm not even going to. I don't want to have recovery. Just bring me back.
Trust me, if I had a dime for every time Bible software of any kind crashed on me, then I'd have a lot of money. So
there you go.
Well, on behalf of the producers of Accordance, we want you to know that we deliberately insert those things so that people will have time to spend in prayer. Sometimes intercession, depending on how quickly the sermon has
Holy
to be.
Holy smokes, that was just brilliant spin. I got
a. And often confession is a necessary thing after something like that.
A couple of things I was going to show you here about this InfoPane. You know, it has cross references, including reciprocal cross references. And again, I put the mouse over those verses, and they just show up there in the instant details. I have topics, which will open up in a Bible dictionary, and it automatically looks through the dictionaries that I have ranked, and it can't find it in one. It'll find it in the next one there. And let me go to a passage that would have a location in it, because then what happens when you have, for instance, something like one of these locations, I can click on that location and the atlas will automatically open up to that particular location. And of course, you notice in this case, there are three Jerichos represented. Why are there three Jerichos represented?
That was a question. The Israelites really like the name?
No.
I like having Dr. J on. He's fun.
Yeah. No. Well, see, I always ask this in training seminars. I said, why are there three? I said, well, you know, there's actually more than one reason, but it's part of it's disputed. Part of it is that the city was built and rebuilt at various times. And, of course,
right.
You can...
We're not entirely sure which one they're talking about.
Exactly. So, you can pull that up. And these maps, of course, have various overlays. They're very responsive. Nothing has to be downloaded from the Internet. You can turn on those overlays there as well. I can, you know, expand this out to full screen and so forth. We could do an entire hour just on the Atlas. And, of course, we have timeline. We have apparatuses. And the info pane that's over here on the right is designed to be fluid or dynamic. Dynamic is the word I was looking for, because as you move through your text, it just automatically updates. This isn't a case where you have to enter a passage and wait for content to populate. This is just changing. And you even see that occasionally one of those commentaries will switch out because that means that whatever passage was up there at the top, whatever verse was at the top, that particular commentary didn't cover it. So it automatically will go to my next one. There's so much more than you can do. I was supposed to give a 5-minute overview here, but obviously, you know, there are tons of resources. You see on the far left, my the dictionaries, commentaries, Greek lexicon, so forth. Right now, I can't get this to stop scrolling, but I don't know why. But here, you see commentaries, and you can group these into folders. These major categories come already predefined. And so that kind of gives you a head start with whatever library package you've purchased. If you don't like them in a particular way, you can move them. You can see where I've created folders and so forth. And so there's so much more. But what I'm going to do today is I'm going to turn this over to Dr. J, to Tim Jenny, and he's going to show you some of the new features in Accordance 11.1 that was just released.
I think that probably the feature that I'm most excited about in Accordance 11.1 is the ongoing improvement in user notes and user tools. I am, I'm a biblical scholar. This is what I do, and I'm a biblical scholar. This is what I do, and I'm interested in having people do more than simply read the Bible. I want them to actually be able to study the Bible. And for me, that means jotting down notes and thoughts and insights. Let me see if I can share my screen here. And I'll share my desktop. I'll start screen share. I'm screen sharing. There we go. Let me go over to Accordance here. And what I've been doing is redoing our sample notes file. simply because I wanted to show off some of the new features that we've got available. One of them is that the user notes, and user notes means exactly what it says. If you want a user note on something, you simply go down here, you select the verse, and type Command U for user note, and lo and behold, this little edit window appears here. Why can't you edit it within a text? Well, we figure that, like right in this pane, we figure that people are going to want to zoom back and forth, do research, ask questions, and then put the results over here in this user note.
And Tim, do you have to remember that command U or control U in Windows?
No, you can actually right click, and you can see right here it says edit user note.
And there's also a little icon to the right.
A little icon pops up, right?
Right, there's a little icon over here, and by the way, if you want to make a note in a verse that doesn't have a note in it, the little pencil pops up, and you can say, I want to make a note here. So I can enter whatever I want over here. Let's see. The word is powerful. There we go, something like that.
The word iOS powerful. Okay, good.
Oh, yeah, I am not a touch typist. Is powerful. There we go. Now, this gives me the opportunity, of course, I can change fonts. You can see I have a complete list of fonts here. Notice that Unicode fonts it's fully Unicode capable. So if I could type in Chinese, lo and behold, we could have Chinese viewing there. I have styles and all of those kinds of things. When I'm done editing it, I just click Update, like so. And then we go back to Genesis 3. Remember, I moved that pane so that people could see that we're not dependent upon having the notes. And here you can see my little edit right here. Well, at any rate, we always had scripture links, and you can see them here. You just hover it over, and if you put a scripture link in there, then, you'll be able to see that particular passage. But what we did is we wound up inserting a whole bunch of more links. See, right here. This link tells Accordance, search the ESV for the phrase, the heavens and the earth. So if I click that, Accordance has just searched and found the 11 hits for the heavens and the earth. All right.
Ooh.
So I can actually, I've got two versions of Accordance running here in, because I do some beta testing. I can do the same thing here. Okay, it searched for that. Well, it appears in the KJV only 8 times. See, here it specifies KJV. Okay, now I'm searching the KJV for the same phrase. All right. Then I inserted a picture. That's new. This one I got off the internet.
Cool.
And by the way, once it's there, I can copy it. And let's say I'm a pastor and I want to put that in my sermon. Well, I can do that. So let's get out of that. Just click somewhere else. Here is a topic search. Now I search for the topic of creation. And we'll go back here. I can even access articles. So here's the Erdman's Dictionary article on creation.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And just for folks that are watching at home, when Dr. J's doing his links, you can see how the syntax is all set up, and that's good to know what's going on.
Oh,
but when you create the link, you can actually do the same way you would do an HTML link, and you can just highlight a text, and the link will be embedded in behind the text, right?
Believe it or not, it's actually easier than that. If I wanted to create a link to water here,
right.
All I do is I go down here, and I say copy as location URL.
Mm-hmm.
When I copy that, and I'll do that right now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go back to the other version of Accordance here. Where's my notes? Oh, I know. Back to the other version of Accordance. If I want to insert that right here, let's put it in 1.3. I go ahead and I just paste it, like so.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes up already formatted. When I hit Update, and I click this again, there it is.
Right, but if you want to hide that syntax,
go back
to your edit window. Go back to the note.
Right here.
So let's see. Just if you get rid of that and just highlight like powerful. There you go. You can see the thing on the display on the bottom down there.
We didn't see it though, Wes, because we were just seeing you.
Don't look at me. I'm ugly. Start talking, Tim.
So I just edited the link here, and you notice that it says you do, well, this is actually a resource link, okay? Oh, no, I see what it, all right. And I said, well, I don't want to see all this stuff here. It's going to distract people. So I'm going to go ahead and just say display water. There we go, display water.
There you go.
And when I update it, here it is. Now, if this isn't enough, dun da da da.
And this is so wonderful as it is.
Yeah,
I'm so excited about this.
We can actually click on web links too. Okay, if you look in instant details, which is right down here, open is it, notice that I've got a web link here. So if I want to send people to the old Earth site, give it a minute. You know, I don't know if this is going to, let's try it again, because I've got two browsers running. There we go.
There we go.
Yeah, here's the older site. If I want to send people and I say, well, okay, so you can read that. And by the way, you can compare it with the younger site. Here's the younger site. So I can actually embed these web links in it, which makes this way more powerful. Last but not least, back to the Erdman's Dictionary. I can also take notes on tools, not just text. So in this case, let's say that I disagree with this article on water. Scholars love to disagree with things that are in print. I just write, I disagree. It'd be nice if I knew enough to put a space in there.
It's just an unsealed text. It's okay.
Yeah, see my own article at... And this is particularly funny because I wrote this article. that reminds me, okay? Let me go ahead. I just type a period in there, and I say, you know, I disagree. I changed my mind.
There you go.
see my new article, which is contained in a dictionary that is much more expensive and consequently will bring me greater royalties. So anyhow, what I see, the reason I'm so excited about this particular thing, these have been evolving. And by the way, you can put little emoji in here if that's what your heart desires. Where's my little emoji here? Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at the different languages here. There's Chinese and Arabic. If you take notes in Chinese, Arabic, or Russian, these flags are little emoji.
I didn't think about adding emoji. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
That's a new one.
Well, the thing is that different people take notes in different ways. So since we can do it let's say, the Erdman's Dictionary, if a student is taking notes on their textbook, they can go ahead and they can put their reaction doing emojis. You know, yes, I love this. No, I don't love this. They can insert questions or something else. Then, with their laptop, they can bring that to class. They can ask the professor. You know, they know to do that when they're studying. The same thing here, verse by verse basis. And what's cool about this is that these notes persist. I mean, I've been doing this since I was a teenager, let's say 18. That's more than 40 years. I have no idea how many Bibles I have used, worn out, filled up, and are now discarded. If I had been able to have my notes in my software program, wow, imagine the treasures I would have. Or better yet, imagine the treasures I would have to pass on to my children or my students or my congregation.
And, you know, that was a game changer for me, Tim. I mean, I used to write blog articles about how to, you know, write in the margins of your Bible and which Bible to get that had the widest margins and that kind of thing. And I would get a new Bible and laboriously for months copy notes from one old, from the old Bible
yes.
to the new yep. one. And, you know, Accordance just changes all of that, being able to keep them here and especially with these new features.
Right. And I can sync these notes to Accordance on an iPhone, to Accordance mm-hmm. on an iPad. Even, and I know you have one, Rick, even a Windows tablet that's running a full version of Windows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the fact is, I don't have to always have the same Bible with me as I did in the print days.
Yeah, and it's the way Accordance displays the notes is wonderful. The fact that it goes and it scrolls along with the text, and that ultimately was what converted me to using Bible notes, because I never did. I would read my Bible in one place and I would write about it in another. I was never a margin writer after my first Bible fell apart.
Yeah.
And the way it displays and it scrolls through, and I can bring it into my iOS devices, so I'm always carrying my thoughts around. And you know, I can always go back if I preach on the same text later. I can go back and look at it and go, "Wow, I was really an idiot. I need to change all that." that's always fun too.
And another advantage of Accordance Notes is that the notes format is very robust, and so you can use one notes file for all of your different notes on Bibles and you know, dictionaries and commentaries and articles and so forth. You can have different notebooks if you want to. Like maybe you want to have a separate notes file for translate. You know, you're doing your own translation or something like that. But you don't have to create a separate notes file for every different title and just have this long list of ones you have to select.
Yeah, let me illustrate what Rick just mentioned. I didn't think of doing it this way. I can open my notes in its own separate zone, which I just did. And notice that I have the ESV here, and I've got notes on Genesis, and I've got notes on Matthew. But I also have notes on the Erdman's Dictionary of the Bible. Now, only one note. It's the one that I just entered. But notice that this is a text, a Bible specifically, and this is a tool. I see this as a really, really nice way of reviewing everything that we wanted to make notes on. Now,
that's all one file.
That's all one file. And what's amazing about this, and by the way, if I choose to, let's see, if I sync it with Dropbox.
Everybody looked at Dr. J's password.
Yeah, I was worried about that after I clicked that link. If I sync it with Dropbox, then the next time I'm on my iPhone, I sync it on my iPhone and I have my notes. By the way, we aren't yet showing notes on tools on the iPhone. We've got that planned for a later revision once our programmers have enough pizza and time to put it in there. But it's coming. Since I don't pastor like some of you guys, I'm left in the situation where I'm sitting listening to somebody else speak. And you know what? I don't always agree with everything the pastor says. Or more often, I agree with it, and then I go trailing rabbits. And I say, well, you know, I wonder if that's the same as, well, I got my iPhone out anyhow. This gives me an opportunity to put down all my research as I'm listening to the pastor with one ear, and I'm exploring the text on another. So, I'm very, very sold. Let me go back to Safari so I can actually see you guys. Now, when I talk, are you seeing my face or are you seeing the screen share? Screen share. How do I stop screen share?
Now we see your face.
You're back.
All right, there we go. So anyhow, this is something I've hoped for years. I actually used Accordance, the first release, 1994. I was teaching at that time, and I ran across it. It was the only software available for the Mac, and it worked like I did. So I actually used it as a user from 94 until 2008, when I started actually working for Accordance. It's nice to be in a position to influence the growth of a product you've come to love. So,
One of the cool things that I'd actually been hoping that Accordance should do for years, since I started using it back in, I guess, 2009, is in the notes and in the user tool editors, it's now very, very, very easy to switch between languages without like going through and manually shifting fonts back and forth.
Yes. Yes. Now, let me interrupt you for just a minute and say that we have heard that from a number of people. So we now have two ways to shift, and I'm going to use the quotes, languages. You can shift fonts, which sometimes means you're using a different character system. Or you can shift keyboards. So you can use your Greek Polytechnic keyboard or whatever else, and we have commands built in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool because I had been doing it when 10 came out, you could actually shift the keyboard and start typing in Greek or Hebrew. Like I could shift the system keyboard one or the other.
You know, I don't remember it. It blurs after a while.
Yeah, it's so blurry. But what happened is now in the edit, in the user tool, there's just a drop-down menu and there's shortcut keys that will handle that inside the application. And man, I've been looking forward to that for a very, very long time.
Let me see if I can show that. This is the edit window again. Now I've been doing this sample user notes over here. This is the keyboard. Mm-hmm. So if I decide I want to type Greek, now I'm in my Greek keyboard. Okay, I'll put it here and I'll type a bunch of different deltas. And notice that this persists. So if I shift over here, I'm still in Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Hebrew. If I decide I want to shift with Hebrew, I want to type with Hebrew. Just hope I remember to do all this before I turn it into our own. I'm just gonna think, hey, this guy is demented.
That's like when I do a training seminar. I spend 2 weeks setting my version of accordance back to the way I had it afterwards.
Yeah, watch this. Watch this. Get rid of the notes. Don't update.
That's right.
But the cool thing is that if you look when you were editing, you can see the little American flag up in the system bar.
Yeah.
And that's the keyboard for the entire system on Macintosh. You used to be able to switch just the whole system and type in those characters, but there were some little glitches that were going on when you switched back. And now it's built right into the system, so it just changes for the application. And that's like, to me, that's the next wonderful thing to being able to put pictures in my notes.
Yeah, well, I will tell you that it's not as easy to switch to emoji. Our chief programmer hates emoji. I mean, just passionately. So to do that, you still got to use that keyboard switcher.
The keyboard switch.
Hop in the menu bar and put show emojis and symbols. And then you can, double click on the ones you want and insert them. I'm afraid I don't have enough influence to get emoji there.
And we will not encourage the use of certain emojis for commentaries that people disagree with, and they will remain unmentioned.
What fun.
Tim,
go ahead, Rick, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Can you copy sections of the Atlas and paste those links paste those images into notes now?
You have to do it with a screenshot. Let me go ahead and show you. Let me go back here. I'll just tab over here to accordance. Let's say I open an atlas, and I'm going to stretch this out just a bit so we can open one. I'm going to do it from the library here. I go down here, and why not? I like vivid colors. There we go. And why not? Let's see. I'm going to use... Alexander's Empire. There we go. We'll zoom out a bit. By the way, having been someone, I spent 10 years in the pastorate. I spent 10 years in college teaching full time. I will tell you that this atlas has saved many of us from blindness. When we used to have the transparencies. And you'd try and line them up, and then you'd try and point something out to students by leaning over the projector. It was just, then you look at the students, they all look like stars. It was amazing. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do Command-Shift-4, which on Mac is a screenshot, and I'm going to say, I'm going to take this section, okay? Then I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put the sea monster in Alexandria's Empire. So here, just a couple of double spaces, and I'm going to use this little thing here that says, yes, I want to add a picture. I'm going to go to my desktop. Here's my latest screenshot. Open and update.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of copying from directly in the application. You have to save a file first, and then it'll import in.
Right. That's the way it is now. Now, it wouldn't surprise me at some point if they decide to just allow you to drag and drop, which would be more Mac-like.
But yeah. Do you have to do the same thing for like the Bible art?
Yes.
Modules and things like that. Okay.
Yes. Now you can
You can save. You can export the image directly from the you know, Bible art, you can export that out as a JPEG or PNG and pull that in, which will be a little bit better resolution probably than a screenshot. Although if you have a high DPI screen, you're going to get a really good resolution anyway for screen capture.
Yep. Now, where I see this being used by scholars is not so much for the Atlas, but when they're doing custom sentence diagramming and stuff. So if I were to go here, let's say, let me get rid of this little Atlas part here. And let's go to New Testament. We'll just say, Philippians. Okay, instead of this, obviously I don't need my Hebrew text there. I'm going to go ahead and add the diagram of the Greek New Testament. Well, let's say I'm really taken by this, and I say, wow, you know, this is great. Paul is a slave. I don't have to feel so bad about my job. Okay. Over here, I'm going to add a note at this particular verse, and I'm going to add a picture. And all right, there we go. There's the diagram.
Okay,
see? And now, when I let me get rid of that. See, here's the note. So if I scroll, and let's say I'm on the iPhone, and I don't have my diagrams on my iPhone.
Mm.
There we go.
You had the picture. Although right now you cannot edit user notes that have pictures in it, correct?
Not on the iPhone, but you can on your computer. Right.
Right.
And again, it's because we use a unified code base, the people who program our iPhone are always a step or two behind the desktop system. Mm-hmm. So we have to, you know, we put it in the desktop system, we wait a bit, we get the bugs out, then, okay, guys, now it's time to add this.
Gotcha. I'm still begging Rick, or, Rick for the Atlas on my iPad.
Yeah. Now,
because when I get the 3D Atlas on my iPad, I just might just do nothing but flyovers for my sermons.
Well, and you know, the thing about it is what you, not necessarily for the 3D flyover, but what you could do once the iPad is, once the iOS version is updated, you know, you could have those images. Put into your notes and so forth. You know, that will be the nice thing about being able to put in whatever, you know, because I've seen Tim, you've shown setups, I don't remember it was in the podcast or where, the idea of teaching from accordance, or preaching from accordance, you know, where you keep this stuff on the screen while you're teaching, and you can use your notes as an outline and have images and so forth. And of course, there is a presentation mode in accordance as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, guys, I wanted to point out that the nice thing about using screenshots, I know it's an extra step. The nice thing about using screenshots is, of course, that we can annotate them in any way we want.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to do a circle here, there we go. And, you know, or make any other changes. Say, look, oh, Paul and Timothy, well, they're both slaves. And then save that. And then, of course, when I import it into Accordance, it's going to show all of that as well.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, so I'm really happy. This is something that I have wished for a long time. My life is complete. I can now quit.
Kevin, I think we have a little bit of an echo from your computer.
Well, I just quickly wanted to ask a question. If you when you're done showing off the new stuff, if you don't mind showing off the that presentation mode.
I'll tell you what. Let me show how I do live teaching rather than presentation mode. I think what Rick is thinking of, what he called presentation mode, was actually using the slideshow.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
And
I called it by the Evernote name.
Yeah, I find that a little limiting myself. You know, I spent some time teaching. I spent some time learning how to be a better teacher. And one of the things I found out is that active learning is the key to not only retaining that knowledge, but also integrating it, you know, transforming the way that people actually work and live. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to do is to encourage people, rather than making all the decisions and preaching a sermon, let's say, where the sermon says, I found this, I found this, and I found this, therefore you should do this. What about instead developing a roadmap where we actually walk people through the text? So let's go ahead. I'll go ahead and I'm going to add my Greek New Testament here, Why not? I'm going to assume that I have a Spanish congregation, so I'm going to go ahead and add this version here. You know, now I can say, okay, now take a look here at Philippians 1:15. It's just the verse that happens to be here. Some indeed preach Christ. Now notice that this word preach, keruso, means to proclaim or preach. Mm-hmm. All right. Matter of fact, if I check the definition, okay, now I've got mounts here. Okay. Notice that the word appears 35 times here and in this particular configuration, and this word appears here, and here's...
And that's a new feature, by the way, in the counts.
Yeah, the automatic counts.
So you don't have to like do a search or an analytic search anymore. That's cool.
No, you don't. And I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to launch Pinpoint here, which I often use in my podcasts. There we go. I got my little circle.
Wait, what?
Yeah, see, now I've got my little circle. So now I can point at where people, and I can say, all right, so here's preach. Notice it doesn't just mean to do something from the pulpit, but there we go. And I can say, now let's take a look at how preach is really used. Say I can click it and say, you know, this author says, I can just go through here and say, look at this kind of stuff. I'll make this a little larger. And what I like about this is a couple of things. First of all, I'm showing people how to interpret a text. I'm demonstrating technique as well as communicating content. Mm-hmm. I'm modeling humility because I'm saying, look, when I don't know what a word does, I go to a source like this. So now I'm saying, you know, I don't know everything. This is where I got this. It's okay not to know everything, but here's a good source to get stuff from.
Tim, you are a model of humility.
Thank you. I have worked on that for such a long time. I'm just feeling really proud about it right now.
I'm going to give you a medal.
A humility medal.
Good. The old jerk, and then they took it away because I wore it. So.
We'll share that with my wife. Okay. All right. I'm home with my little screen share, and I still don't know how to... Am I back?
Hey, you're back.
Yeah. All right. So anyhow.
No. Very cool.
That's live.
What is you on 11.1? We hear from Rick all the time, but for you, what is the biggest advance for Accordance 11.1, the biggest thing that should draw people to this upgrade?
Well, I think for the average user, it's going to be what I just showed, the user notes and the user tools. Now, we have added tons of features that have been requested by people. Sometimes they're just little features that have been driving somebody nuts.
I counted a total of 50 in this update.
Yeah, it's a lot of little upgrades. For scholars, the biggest difference is what we've done to the syntax search. And it displays differently now. It's more intuitive. You know, it used to be if you were searching for a phrase, you had to define every level between the top one and the bottom one that you were looking for. So a clause within a clause within a clause that has this word in it. Now you need only indicate, let's say, the top clause, and it doesn't matter what's in between. You can actually vary the depth at which you're willing to search. So you can say, well, I want it right underneath this, or I don't care if it's 9 levels below, I still want to see it. Okay. I think that's going to have a huge effect for scholars.
And that's going to... For, you know, we probably don't have a huge amount of scholars working on here. That way, I think people might be interested. Why would that change the way scholars are reading the text?
Well, a lot of people who are grammarians or linguists, even the people who write grammars for languages, often use Accordance. Mm-hmm. They use it to locate specific examples. So if they want a particular tense or they want to look at a particular construction, they want to find all the examples in, let's say, the Hebrew Bible, or for that matter, the Greek New Testament. And so they will search for those examples, they can group them, they can analyze them, and then ultimately they can lecture on them and produce resources for those of us that maybe aren't quite as linguistically inclined. And, you know, I mean, we've got some of the world's top scholars who look to Accordance for the tools that they need to advance the field. And we're very honored to have those people as customers. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, in the years that I've worked the Accordance booth at SBL, I mean, some of the people that I have used their textbooks, you know, like forever, have shown up. You know, when you meet Emmanuel Tove after many years of using his material, it's just like, wow. And I'm contributing to something that helps you. It's just a little bit of a payback to somebody who's contributed so much to me. So that's just a personal reward.
Nerds can be fanboys. It's just a very...
Yes, we can. yes, we can. Now, if I could only figure out a way to drag Star Trek into accordance.
Well, you can add it in your user notes.
I was about to say, you got a user tool now. You can do whatever you want.
That's
right. You can do a profile of, you know, Captain Picard's leadership or Captain Kirk's leadership, you know, something like that. But
yeah.
Put Captain Kirk examples perhaps in the Book of Judges at times.
Well, you know, the original series was all a series of little morality plays.
Right, that's
Maybe
true.
Somebody who's listening will be motivated to go through those old episodes, identify the ethical problem that each, you know, addresses, put it in a user note or a user tool so we can access the scriptures on those.
There you go.
Then, you know.
It was interesting. Rick, you told you we're working through Not the Way It's Supposed to Be by Plantinga right now at my church. And we got to the idea of sin being a parasite. Folks had a hard time understanding that. You know, that's something they couldn't quite get. And we actually pulled up the example of Anakin Skywalker.
Okay.
And had like a 20-minute conversation. We're like, well, what's he trying? Like, he became evil. Well, why was he seduced? He's like, because he was seduced. He wanted power. It's like, why was he doing? He's like, and someone finally goes, well, he was trying to save Padme. You know, tragedy that the original, that the prequel trilogy was. And they went, oh, he was trying to do something good. Right. And that whole idea came out. So now I can throw that in a user tool and tie it to things.
Well, I remember trying to explain to my students, you know, Westerners all, that myth, as used in biblical studies in an anthropological sense, does not mean falsehood.
Amen.
It's a way of communicating truth that is, well, it's literary, of course, or spoken language. It's certainly not science. And that there are things that you can communicate when you embed truth in narrative, no matter whether the narrative is true or false, that you can't communicate propositionally. But you can imagine, you know, I mean, following me is going to require a certain degree of critical thinking and a little willingness to abandon a Western mindset. But being able to use the Star Trek episode Darmok, where, you know, they're communicating with myths, and in order, you can understand the words, but you can't understand the concepts until you appreciate the myths.
Mm-hmm. It was really, that was a great episode.
A great episode.
I totally with myself as a complete nerd.
This has become the nerdiest podcast episode ever.
It's Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra. I mean, I still know the words.
Oh, my goodness. I remember that episode, but I didn't remember the words.
It really is cool. And Tim, that was one of the neat things when you start talking with Westerners about the idea of myth, and the idea of myth means falsehood. And trying to communicate people that you know, myth is true without being fact.
Yeah.
And one thing that I used to do, ask people, it's like, well, who carried the ring to Mordor? And they go, well, Frodo. I'm like, no, he did. If myth is falsehood, then no, the only right answer to that is that didn't actually happen, so it doesn't matter.
You got to admit that if it wasn't for Sam, the whole thing would have fallen apart.
It would have fallen out, yeah.
And I got to point out that only an Englishman would have somebody go on a journey and lose everything except his manservant. The essential survival tool, a manservant.
It really is just completely British. It's amazing.
Coming back to accordance from...
We can put all these user tools, by the way.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, put in your. Yeah, there are a few other perhaps lesser features. You know, the export of the interlinear works much better now in Word. Yeah. Printing articles is easier. Would you want to show those, Tim, or would you like me to?
Why don't you go ahead and show those? Let me give some thought as to some other things I can show.
Okay, so let's see here. I'm gonna. This is always a. I always have to think through this. Okay, so I'm Can you see my screen now? And
yes.
I don't know where coordinates went. Bring that back up. I may have closed it. Let's assume that I closed it. It didn't crash. Okay, come on.
I'm just watching myself.
Look, it did crash in the background.
This is only because you're running 14 programs in the background and you don't have enough memory.
Normally that's not an issue. Okay, so a couple of extra things here, real quick. We've had this wonderful interlinear mode for a while, and our interlinear mode is a flexible one. You can add whatever you want to. You don't have to open up different interlinear text. And so I'm going to just start here with the traditional interlinear. And so, and I'll make this a little bit larger so everyone can see it. But you know, here we've got, this is what's called the traditional interlinear. I've got a translation in English. I've got the Strong's numbers. I've got the lexical form, and then I've got part of speech underneath that. And I can add all these other things here. I can add syntax. I can add word transliteration if I need to. I can add other translations into this as well. So maybe I want to compare the HCSB with the ESV. So now I've got the ESV down here at the bottom. And this is, you know, it's more complicated than you might think as far as in terms of copying that. But, you know, if I want to copy that and put it in something else, I can now do copy as interlinear, okay? And I'm not even sure, Tim, you could tell me, I haven't tried this, do I even have to have the interlinear open in order to do that, or can I just do copy as interlinear from any text? And it pasted a map.
Wow.
I had copied that earlier when I was following along with you. Okay, let's try this again. This is not my day for demos.
Did you just crash that again?
No, it's right here.
No, it's there.
Okay. I was setting up my own example while I was listening to you.
Okay, let's... There
we go. Going to get a letter of reprimand. Yeah, okay, sure, go ahead.
Now, and of course, it didn't do this well. It did it much better in the...
Copy it as or paste it as an object? It's not text.
No,
it's a table.
It's a table.
Is it real?
I was going to try to fix that table. Let's see. Let's go to... maybe if we go to this, there we go. Okay, so it pasted as this table. And, you know, if I turn on the invisible characters, you can see where it's got these different cells in this table. I'm guessing probably because this font is so large. You know, if I select everything, let me make everything a 12-point, it's probably going to fit on there a little bit better. And so if I go back to, where was that? Up here in view,
yeah.
Print layout. Well, it's still going off, but I could adjust those.
Yeah, Rick, you're showing it at 200% too.
That's I don't know if that has anything to do with it as well, but it's still going off the page, and it shouldn't go off the page like that. I'll tell you what, let me try it. Let me try it with
the
ESV.
Rick, shrink the text back down.
Right here?
In accordance, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you should have to do that, but let's...
Well, change the width, so let's see if it works.
Okay. So I'm going to do a copy as interlinear, and I'm going to create a new document just so that presets aren't... There we go. Okay, so I'm going to paste that in. It's still going off, and that's a little bit better there, but that's something we probably want to... Let me try one other thing. I'm going to grab two verses here. So let's go through verse 3.
And see if it'll wrap.
Yeah. So I'm going to do copy as interlinear. I'll go to Word. I'm going to create a new document. And I'm going to paste that in. Well, it did it better now. Let me try this. What happens if I say match destination formatting? That's better, mm-hmm. but it's yeah. That's something we probably still need to work on. But before it was a real big mess. I mean, you could still go through here and you could adjust. You know, you could adjust the columns. But it's working much better than what it was before. So I'm sure they'll iron out the issue with it going off the edge there. So that's one of the new features is being able to paste these more easily. By the way, it doesn't work well in Apple Pages, and that's because of changes that Apple has made in the most recent version, but there may be a fix for that eventually. Another new feature is, you know, if I have a dictionary open here, let me open up the, I'll just open up to a random place here. I'll close this for right now. You know, in before, if I wanted to, let me find a longer article. You know, if I wanted to print an article, or maybe I may, this is a good example, Israel Land Dub. So before, if I wanted to print an article, I actually created a video of how to do this not too long ago, and it was, you know, it's I'll use the word convoluted. It was fairly convoluted as to how you do that. What's the keyboard combination, Tim, where I go right to that? To there, well, never mind, I found it anyway. But what, it's easy now. So now I just right-click on this, and I can say print. And it's going to take whatever this top level is. And so I can say print, and when it comes up with a print dialog box here, I'm not going to actually print it. I'll show it to you.
You can save it as a PDF.
You can save it as a PDF. Or, you know, there's another option there that said select. So, well, then I just got that top one. Let's try. I think this is the article that I was actually on. Let's try this.
Making course manuals is going to be a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And so here we go. So, but because what I want to show you here is it's going to get all those underlying, it's going to get all those underlying sections too that little triangle represents. Yeah. And so now I've got the full article.
Oh my goodness.
Here. The other thing that you can do too, if for instance, if you're just copying it, I can say select text. And so, you know, it's grabbing all of these sub areas here. So it's you're selecting or printing whatever that's the top level entry. And now I can do whatever I want to with it. You know, I can copy that or copy it as citation so that it footnotes it at the bottom or whatever I want to do.
Nice. Now, I set up another example of something that's new, if you want to
share. Yeah, I'm going to switch to you, or I'm going to switch my sharing off. There we go.
Quick question. When you print it, if say you are printing the article, will it automatically cite it?
If you do copy and citation, it'll put a footnote in.
But not if you just print it.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Although that's a good idea. That's probably something that should be added.
Go ahead, Tim.
All right. Well, I did a new search here. One of the things that those of us who are New Testament scholars often want to do is, let's say we're searching in the Greek New Testament, and we want to find something as simple as spirit. Okay. There we go. All the instances of spirit. And then we get to thinking, well, you know, I wonder how people in the Old Testament use this particular passage. Well, of course, that means we have to go to the Septuagint. So, of course, we can actually search for this particular passage, and we can go ahead and say, well, okay, my original language is Bibles. What I really want to do is I want to search the Septuagint. Now, I've actually done that already in order to set this up. So here's the search for Noema or Numa in the Septuagint. Notice we've got 325 verses, 350 hits. And when I open the analysis window, it says, all right, well, here I've got, every place that I found, that is in fact the correct word. Now, if I right-click and set analysis display, there's something new here. We've always been able to show the lexeme or the lemma and the inflected forms and break it out by part of speech. But take a look at this. We can now show the Greek equivalent for each of the lexemes. All right, I'm going to hit OK. Now look.
For the Hebrew, you're showing the Hebrew equivalent. Okay.
Right. So what we're using is that Emmanuel Tove's MTLXX parallel database. And what we're saying here is, okay, so Numa three times, okay, it's going to translate a form of Ruach here. 203 times, there's the most times it translates. I would assume this is in the spirit or by the spirit. But take a look. Boy, it's got nephesh once. Okay? Ah, well, look, if we include this, we have more examples of self, soul, or person, however we want to translate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we can even, as we adjust this, we can say, well, now, I wonder if Let me get rid of that. Delete that. I wonder if those particular translations vary by inflected form. All right. Well, now let's see this. See? Now, okay, so when it appears as a noun, we get these kinds of anomalies based on the database. But yeah, by and large, wow.
Wait, how did you activate that? Show me.
All right. Set analysis display, or command T, in the active pane is probably the most powerful tool in accordance.
Right.
What I said was, okay, sort this by lexeme, okay, pneuma.
Okay.
Underneath it, let's look at the inflected form. So over here, notice that this is the lexeme.
Right.
And down here, okay, here's a different configuration. Here's another one. And now I want to see inflected form by inflected form how the Septuagint translates it.
That's really cool.
Now, so you have to see...
Go ahead, Rick. I'm sorry.
So you have to have the MTLXX module in accordance.
Right, you do. And not just, we offer two versions of it, and an expensive one for somebody who just wants to maybe display the interlinear or something, and then the full database that allows searching, and now, of course, allows analysis.
But that's amazing, because the amount of time it would take to do that by hand, to see, like, well, is this being used the same way all throughout the Septuagint? That's really cool.
See, I'm thinking that Bible software actually encourages creativity and exploration. I can ask a what-if question, and it may or may not lead to a productive analysis. But more importantly, I can do that, and then, what'd that take me? 3 minutes to do? And then go back to the regular subject of my main inquiry. So, and I think the ability to explore is extraordinary. So, obviously I'm sold.
You're not going to get an argument from me. That was really cool. I mean, that to me was one of the neatest things that I've seen in 11.1. I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah, and one of the things that I'm seeing is that there is a big difference between what excites me as a scholar and what I think that my podcast viewers, or let's say the average Accordance user, is going to be interested in. It's funny, I the 11.1 podcast, which I posted, and I said, okay, this is basic. I mean, we do that with overviews. They're all basic because all we're doing is describing the overview. I get a response from somebody who said, this isn't basic. There isn't a thing in here that's basic. I've been using Accordance for 15 years, and I don't know how to do any of this stuff. And I thought, that's amazing, really amazing. Each one of us has our own section of stuff that we use our Bible software for. And ultimately, I think that's great. I mean,
to me, that's the beauty of Accordance, that you have, and that's what I tell people. I said this at the training seminars I taught last week, that, there are everyone from, laypersons just doing basic Bible study, and of course, we give them the underlying Greek or Hebrew with the keyed text, but you also have students, you have professors, you have, these scholars that are doing this intensive Dead Sea Scroll research, and Accordance is flexible enough to be used with all of these different purposes.
What I like about Accordance is...
training seminars, guys. I'm sorry, Wes, I'm going to cut you off.
Go ahead, Rick.
We're hitting at an hour right now. And speaking of the training seminars, I'm looking over here at the Accordance blog. And, of course, it talks about the Accordance 11.1 update. And so I recommend everyone go over and take a look at that. Who's it written by?
Who's that guy?
Is he related to you?
I'm sure.
Mansfield, but
it's probably my dad.
Anyway, and then also I wanted to make mention, you have a lot of great interactive training on your website, and so anybody who is new to Accordance can pick it up pretty quickly. And then here's, I just noticed this interactive training seminar that you can run, and obviously run by, or put together probably by you, Dr. J. Did you record all this and do all this on your own, or you have others that work with you to...
It was just me, and I've got to tell you, it was done in Adobe Captivate, and it took a long time.
Okay. Well, last week we talked a lot about becoming a Bible software expert, and Accordance is one of the better companies at giving you lots of ways to make certain that you can find out how to use the program, and they do it. What I love about Accordance is you don't charge money. You've already gotten their money in the books and the Bible software. You want to help them and enable them to do it.
We don't even take up collections.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
We really don't.
You could grease the trainer if you went to one of the trainings and spend a little time.
The seminars are free, and we've got one coming up in Atlanta on the 20th that's going to be right between the ETS and SBL meetings. And so if anyone's interested in coming to that, you can register at seminars@accordancebible.com. And
I've hosted those twice, and they are definitely worth the time. If for no other reason than, like, you can learn a couple cool tricks during the actual sessions, and in the in-between times, to be able to pick the brain of other Accordance users.
Rick, are you doing that session?
I am doing that session.
Nice. So people who read your blog and are regulars at this podcast, Theotech, can actually see you in person, get an autograph, take you out for lunch.
I'll sign their iPad right on the screen.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, a permanent Sharpie.
One last question. I don't want to go without this. There might be some newbie out there who's just for the first time got Accordance last week before the update came out. How do they get this 11.1 update?
You just go to, on the Mac there, which is what you're looking at, you go to the Accordance menu and you say check for app update. That will be on your utilities menu in Windows. There's a separate utilities window because we follow Windows conventions in the Windows version. And I would also point out, I don't know if we mentioned this earlier, that 11.1 is even with 50 new features, it's a free update for anyone who has already upgraded to version 11.
And I noticed when I updated mine this morning, I've already done it, so it's not showing, but there was a new...
Yes.
Package update in here as well.
Yeah, you got some new foreign language Bibles that we just added in to some of the collections. Those were released this week.
All right.
Does it automatically
offer itself when you open it the first time after there's an update, or do you have to always go in and manually hit the Accordance, you know, the menus to get the updates?
You can set it to check. Like every day or every week or whatever you want to do, or you can go in and manually do it.
Is it on by default?
Where is that, Tim? Do you remember where that setting is for? Yeah, there you go. You can set it for whatever you want to do. And it will. It's when you start Accordance, it will automatically run if you've got it set to daily.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for showing that off, and I appreciate you taking the bulk of that time, since I was the whole time you didn't hear me, but I was coughing constantly.
And I hope you're feeling better soon, Kevin.
I hope so as well. I've had this for about a week now, and I went to my doctor, and he says, well, I'm pretty sure it's viral, and there's not really much we can do about it. And so I was like, okay, thank you.
Hey, as long as we're passing compliments around, I just want to say thank you for Theotech and podcasts and all the hard work that you do. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you, guys. I appreciate Wes and Rick. And, of course, Antoine couldn't be with us this morning. And our often guest host, LaRosa, who's used to be more regular but is becoming a little more regular lately, he couldn't be with us. But hopefully those guys will be back. And we have other guests. We've got other people that we're trying to line up to come in and talk with us. And I know not everybody who watches this is an Accordance software user, so we get – you know, as many of different kinds. We've had people from BibleWorks and WordSearch and Logos and, I'm sorry, Logos, as they like to say it. And I always try to get others. And then last week we had a fellow from Verse 3, the guy who created that, David.
Fetter.
Yeah, David Fetter from Switzerland. All right. Well, this has been the Theotech Podcast today. And as always, subscribe to us on YouTube if that's where you're watching it. You can go to theotech.com. I'm behind by one. I haven't updated or posted last week's on that address, but I'll get that up as soon as I can. And then if you want to just listen, this one probably would not be as valuable to listeners, but we post that at theotech.com. You can also subscribe to it through iTunes or through your favorite podcast app, thanks to Stitcher Radio, on both apps like My favorite is Pocket Casts. What do you guys use for listening to podcasts on your mobile device?
I use the default podcast app from Apple on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Chris, what did you use?
I don't really listen to it. I usually do it on my computer.
Okay. Dr. J, what did you say you use?
Same as Rick, the default app.
Okay. You really should check out Pocket Cast, man. That's awesome.
I will.
It's nice. It syncs everything. You can, if you ever get like this fit of lunacy and decide to jump over to Android, you can download the Android app and it'll sync with it as well. And
and yeah. I can't remember the one that I downloaded a week or two ago because it was available for free, and it's not normally free, but I can't think of the name. I'm looking here on my iPhone. I don't see it, but it's another good one as well.
All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot for being with us today, and we'll be signing off.
See you next, Peter.
Got it.